5? Okay. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، before we discuss our topic for tonight, which is when you find love at home, I just want to address the situation that happened this Friday in New Zealand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on those who lost, you know, their lives during Salatul Jumu'ah. And may Allah Azza wa Jal accept them as shuhada and martyrs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admit them to Jannat al-Firdaus al-Ala ya Rabbil Alameen. There is no doubt, there's so much we could learn from this experience. The fact that it's a house of worship, the fact that it's targeting the Muslim community. And we're not just single out. This is just a series of many, many other events happened in the past few months. So I don't want the people to think this is just, you know, against the Muslims. When it comes to hate, hate doesn't recognize any faith, any color, any ethnicity, nationality, nothing. It just makes everything flat. Hate is an evil the way it is. I mentioned that in the khutbah today. I want to repeat that once again, that this incident is supposed to unite us all together, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. I don't want anyone to try to take, you know, a political point on the incidents that happened there in New Zealand. It's for all of us to make dua for them, inshallah ta'ala, for the community, unite our efforts to create a better environment for all of us. So once again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive those who lost their life today, Rabbil Alameen. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate their status, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them in al-firdaus al-a'la, ya Rabbil Alameen. So bismillah. Today, inshallah, we have a very special topic, when love is found at home. So let me ask a question before we begin with the subject, inshallah. How many of you are living, alhamdulillah, a perfect family and a perfect marital life? Raise your hand. If you have a perfect marriage, perfect family life, raise your hand. Because if you raise your hand, you're in the wrong place. So when it comes to family life, SubhanAllah, it's a training on the job. You can never reach that level of perfection. Why? Because it's phase after phase after phase after phase, which means you're going to keep growing into the relationship bin Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But love is very important. It's one of those important ingredients in a relationship to make it successful and make it, inshallah ta'ala, going, you know, better. But the question is, why do people struggle in their marital life? Why do people struggle in their family life? Like, whether you're married or not, you have some struggle with your parents, with your siblings probably. If you're married, alhamdulillah, with your spouse and your children, you have some struggle. Now the question is, why do we have these issues? Can anyone give me a guess? Yes? Because we're human beings, right? But why do we have troubles? Okay, So what do you think? What's the problem? Which is? So that's part of the test, right? So we struggle because part of the test. Sisters, what do you guys think? Yes? Communication problem, right? That's one way of looking at it. High expectations. We expect a lot from each other. So? Control. When communication fails, people go try to do control. But if there is one thing that makes us all struggle as we try to live our family life or marital life, what would that be? Okay. We're all right, but there is one thing that makes us all struggle. Yes. Finances? No, not necessarily. Some people are good with whatever is available for them. Different interests, okay. What is the problem with expectations? What is the problem with that? And I agree with you. It had to do with expectation, but what is the problem with expectations? Huh? Vulnerabilities? Is that what you're saying? Okay. What is the problem with expectation, Jamal? Here's the answer to this. Why do people struggle, whether it's subject related to marriage, family life, my brothers and sisters, community, business, finances, all that stuff? Why do we struggle and have all these problems? Because we all strive to achieve one thing that is unachievable in this world. What is it? Thank you. Perfection. We're trying to reach perfection. Okay, how do we try to reach perfection? What are we trying to achieve? When it comes to perfection, how are we trying to achieve perfection? What are we trying to look for? You know, when you go to work, what are you looking for? When you try to raise children, what are you looking for? When you get married, what are you looking for? When you want to have some private time with your spouse, what exactly are you looking for? All of that, we're looking for one thing. What is it?
Happiness.
Happiness, okay. We'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're telling me that I shouldn't be expecting satisfaction with my spouse? I want to delegate that to Allah Azza wa Jal. But that's depressing, right? No, but if there is anything we're looking for as we try to strive for perfection in our life, we're looking for certainty. We always look for certainty. You go to work because you want to be sure that you have enough to survive for the next 10 years, probably. You get married because you want to know that, you know, I'm going to find my spouse and start a family and do this and move forward in life and so on. When people, they get married and they start having issues, they start to communicate. When communication is failing, they start freaking out. Why? Because the certainty of success is now fading away from them. So that's why everybody's looking for perfection, because it brings them certainty. But here's one secret about it. Allah subhanahu says in the Quran, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى أَتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, and you worship your Lord until you meet your certainty. What is the certainty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about in this ayah? What do you guys think?
Death.
But until then, what are you going to be dealing with? Uncertainty. So stop trying to achieve the impossible. Perfection is not part of this world. It's part of the hereafter. So from this, let's talk about how can we bring love in our life, and what does it mean to bring love into our life, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, into our homes. I'm going to share with you 10 points. I want to share with you 10 points related to the subject of love, whether it's between a husband and wife, between siblings, between parents and their children, and so on. So 10 points that hopefully will bring love home to you. Number one, when it comes to love, we need to learn what is the nature of love. They say, if there is one thing in this world, they say, if there is one thing in this world that causes nonsense to make sense, what would it be, Jamaa? You should figure it out right now. If there is one thing in this world that causes nonsense to make all sense, what would it be? Love. Because when you're in love, the impossible becomes possible. The right becomes wrong, and the wrong becomes right. The green becomes red, and the red becomes yellow. I don't know. The thing is that when you're in love, you're willing to believe everything just because you're in love. Which means, might not be that rational, right? I know some people might feel disappointed with that. But here's the thing about love. Yes, it's meant to be that way. Otherwise, if people know for sure every step on the way, guess what? No one will take a move forward. See, part of the journey of love, it's the uncertainty. The thrill of it. The thrill. And that's why every meeting, every moment is actually very thrilling, because now what you're expecting, something fresh, something new, something this, something that. And that's why when people get married after a few years, what happens? It becomes boring, man. Everything becomes predictable. So that's why you need to refresh it over and over again, over and over again. We're going to talk about this, inshallah ta'ala. But the point is, we need to learn to keep it, you know, alive, refreshing it. So if there is anything in this world that causes nonsense to make sense, is actually love. Therefore, no matter how much you think that you understand it, you know what? It's still a secret, which is bring me to point number two. When it comes to love, they say that love is a mystery, but marriage is not. Is that clear? Love is a mystery, but marriage is not. Let me give an example here. Who can explain to me what love is, Jama'ah? Okay, who can explain to me what marriage is? Wow. Let me ask another question. How many of you are married? Raise your hand if you're married. Until now, we didn't figure it out, Jama'ah. Right? So when it comes to love, it's a mystery, but marriage is not. When it comes to love, people explain love as a personal experience. And this is somehow, love is like a spiritual experience. You know when people go to Hajj and they come back and you ask them, how was it? What do they say to you? Most people go to Hajj when you ask them, how was it? Especially the first time. When you ask them, how was it? What do they tell you? Like, I can't describe this for you by words. You have to go yourself. When it comes to love, those who are first time they fall in love, and the second time, and the third time, and the tenth time, every time you ask them, how was it? She says, I can't describe this to you by word. You have to fall in love yourself. SubhanAllah, when it comes to love, it's a mystery. No one can explain what is it, because it's a personal experience, like spirituality once again. It's a very personal experience. But marriage is not. It's like math. 1 + 1 = 2. Or physics. 1 + 1 = 2, right? Again. But really, it's predictable. There are certain rules, we call them the rules or the physics of marriage. They call them dynamics of marriage. When you throw something up, what happens to it, Jama'ah? Comes down, right? If you throw a ball against the wall, what happens to it? It bounces back. These are the natural rule of physics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in this world, in this universe. Marriage has also rules. I didn't put these rules. Don't blame me for them. I didn't put these rules out there. But I discovered them. I studied them just like math and physics. When we learn math and geometry and so on, we create beautiful things, technology. But if we know now the rules of marriage and we try to play the marriage the way we want it to be, like if you know that 1 + 1 = 2, and you insist trying to make it 3 in your own way because you don't like it to be 1 + 1 = 2, then try it and see what happens with you. You're going to mess it up completely. So we need to understand when it comes to marriage and love, love is a mystery. Marriage is not. I cannot describe love to you. You have to experience it. But marriage, I can explain it to you. There is always rules. These rules, you might say they're not fair. No one says it's fair. But you know what? These are the rules that we have to apply and we have to understand them. You play by the rules, you will have joy and happiness. You try to go against these rules, good luck with that. Number three. And by the way, just to give an idea how interesting love versus marriage is, let's talk about love for a second over here. Now, once again, those who are married, raise your hands if you're married. Bismillah. Okay. Put your hands down because I don't want to embarrass anybody right now. Don't answer the question, all right? Just keep it for yourself. How many of those who raise their hands are married to their first love in their life? Don't raise your hands, okay? Otherwise, you're going to get in troubles. But seriously, how many people you know in their real life, they're married to their first love? Statistically speaking, they say they're about 1% to 2%. That's all. 1% to 2%. Why so? Because where was your first love, Jama'ah? Your first love was most likely on TV, right? Like fall in love with an actress or an actor, for instance. Or your first real love probably was, you know, the girl across the street in the neighborhood. Or the boy in the, you know, the Islamic school, the next door, the next class over there, or in Sunday school. These are called, you call it crush, right? But it's a form of love. However, people, they fall in love and out of love and love out of love, and then at some point they decide to get married. And then guess what happens, subhanAllah? Wow, they experience love again. Maybe this person wasn't their first love. But it still can be experienced. And that's a secret about it. I don't know how it works. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it amazingly work out that way. Which brings us to point number three. It's Allah's design. This is Allah's design. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And among his signs is this, that he had created for you from amongst yourself azwaj, which means your partners, your spouse, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you might find peace and tranquility with them. Did you guys hear that? Allah said He created your spouse for you so you might find peace and tranquility with them. When I ever bring this ayah to people and I mention this statement to them, people, those who are married, they look at me and go, like, are you kidding me? Like, where's that peace and tranquility you're talking about? I'm already married. I'm looking for it. Right? Well, here's the thing. Allah says, I'll give you peace and tranquility, but there are conditions. He says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And He placed between your hearts love and mercy. The two most important ingredients to have a successful marriage and a successful relationship. Love and mercy. Passion and compassion. مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. You see, some people, when they get married or they want to start a relationship, they wanted to have it fully based on passion. Like if there is no passion, there's no meaning to this relationship, which is why a lot of people, they oppose what people call it arranged marriage. Now, I'm against arranged marriage. It was forceful and people have no choice in saying yes or no into this relationship. But if it was a matter of, you know, matching people, like, hey, we have this person for you. What do you think? And just like, whatever. If you trust them, bismillah, let's go for it. Now, that's okay. That's still okay. But once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us that, you know, two most ingredients right now that we have. So we have the love, again, we have the passion and compassion, love and mercy. Some people, they want to get married, they want to look, experience passion. But that passion can be actually without compassion at all. It will be brutal. Love that is brutal, really. And that's why people, sometimes they say, I'm suffocating in this relationship. Why? Because there is obsession in this relationship, obsession of love. Other people, it's completely the opposite. They don't have passion at all, but they have so much compassion. What does that mean? It means they're in the relationship fi sabilillah. That's all, yani. So when you ask her, why are you still sticking around with this guy after all what you said about him? She goes, wallahi, I feel sorry for him. He's so clumsy. If I leave him, he's not going to survive, yani, a day. And when you ask the guy, why are you still in this relationship after what you've been saying about your spouse? He would say, just for the kids. So family is now running on fumes of compassion, but there is no fuel of passion at all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, there are signs and there for those who reflect. Now here's the interesting thing about this ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned this ayah in Surah Ar-Rum in the context of speaking about magnificent creation, such as the heavens and the earth and the creation of man from earth, from dirt, and then the thunder and the rain and the sky and this and that. In the middle, He says, I create man and woman. And in addition to that, it's the only ayah, the only verse in this context that begins by saying there are signs in here and concludes by saying there are signs in here, which means Allah is making this miracle at the beginning and at the end. Which is actually, if you look at it really seriously, if you look at it from a very, very objective and perspective, it's a miracle. Complete perfect strangers. Perfect strangers. Completely. Even if they were cousins, by the way. They're still strangers, in a sense. But then these people, when they're very strange to each other, still, when they get married, they are willing right now to accept this person as the most intimate partner for themselves. Like they're willing to put themselves in full vulnerability for them. You know, you become vulnerable when you get married because you now you're physically vulnerable, emotionally, spiritually, all of that. And the more you accept and submit to each other in that vulnerability, the more beautiful it is. But the more you resist, the harder it gets to have that harmony and peace with each other. So remember these two important ingredients. What are the most important ingredients in a relationship, ya jama'ah? What are they? Remember them. Love and hate, right? So what is it then? Love and mercy. Love and mercy. Or passion and compassion. It's not enough to love your spouse. You should have mercy on them. And it's not enough to do it fi sabilillah. You should have some also personal interest in them. Otherwise, if you don't have these two things, then you're not going to have that promise from Allah Azza wa Jal to give you what? Peace and tranquility. Work on it. Is it something we could learn? Absolutely. We're going to talk about this more, inshallah ta'ala. Number four. When it comes to love, is it halal or haram? What do you guys think? How many of you say love is haram? Raise your hand if you say love is haram. Anyone says love is haram? Huh? Okay. How many of you say love is halal? Raise your hands. What about the other ones? It's like you tell me, right? So is love halal or haram? Is it? There you go. That's a good question here. What kind of love we're talking about? When you ask the question, it's a very vague question, ambiguous question. So when you say haram or halal, it's just like, hey, wait a second. What are you talking about here? You see, Imam Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah ta'ala, in one of his beautiful books, Tawq al-Hamama, The Ring of the Dove, he said, when it comes to love, you cannot say is halal or haram. Because it's in the heart, and the heart and the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibn Qayyim answers to this as well. He says, what you could call halal and haram or right and wrong is what? The actions people take as a result of these emotions. Sometimes people fall in love, you know, accidentally. Is it possible? Yes. Jama'ah, is it possible? Yes. It's possible. They call it love at the first sight, right? So it can be accidental. And it's like, oh my God, I think I'm in love. How would you know that? I don't know, my temperature. It's getting hot over here, right? SubhanAllah. So eventually, some people say accidental. But then some other people experienced love differently. Like they got married to somebody that they haven't seen before. And then SubhanAllah, at some point later in their life, it's like, I can't, you know, separate from my spouse. I remember one time I gave a talk on love. And then one brother came to me that was a few years back. So I'm right now maybe about 17 years. He goes, Sheikh, you know, you talked about love and this, and I want you to know that when I got married, he said, when I got married, I got married through arranged marriage. I haven't seen my wife, you know, that time until we got married together. And we'd been married at the time they were 13 years when they were married. He said, we've been married for the past 13 years. We have three kids, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. He goes, I can't even imagine a day without my wife. And I said, Jazakallah khair, may Allah bless you, bless your marriage and your family. He says, I just want you to share my story with people to let them know that it's possible. Even if we don't know the person, but somehow you can build that love. And I know other people who've been dating, halal dating, for 4 years, without explaining what it is. But eventually, halal dating for 4 years. 4 years during college, ya jama'ah. They were dating like they, khalas, brother Muhammad for Aisha and Aisha for Muhammad. But then the moment they got married, it didn't even last 6 months. So what happened to that love for the past 4 years? So when it comes again to love and marriage, remember, love is mystery, but marriage is not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the two ingredients for us, love and mercy. But at the same time, we understand that it's halal for you to fall in love with your spouse. Where are we getting that from? You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he was asked in front of the public, قال رسول Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, he said, قال يا رسول الله من أحب الناس إليك, who is the most beloved person to you? Let me put the story for you in context, okay? So you understand where this is coming from. Amr ibn al-As was one of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala who embraced Islam late in his life. Like he came to Islam when at 7 Hijri year. 7 Hijri, which means right 1 year right before the conquest of Mecca. Okay, what was he doing in the past few years? He was fighting against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was there against him in Badr, in Uhud, in Khandaq. He was there even standing against him and the Sahaba as they came to do Umrah, you know, the 6th Hijri year. He was out there stopping them from coming to Mecca. But after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he kind of like started thinking, pondering himself and Khalid bin Walid. Then he became Muslim. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave his pledge. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assigned him right away to lead a military expedition. Why so? Because he knew Amr ibn al-As was a general. And he's a brilliant military man. So where do we fit him in? In the military. So he gave him an expedition in which there were many people who were Muslims way before Amr ibn al-As. Some people, obviously, they didn't like his leadership because why is he the leader? I mean, we have XYZ, he's Muslim 5 years, 10 years, this year, and he just became Muslim right now. The Prophet doesn't discriminate. You're Muslim, khalas, we're done. We don't care about your past. Alhamdulillah, we move on. Let's move forward from there. So some people were kind of arguing about his leadership. When he came back, he wanted just to finish this once and for all. So he asked the people, the Prophet asked them in public, like, why would the Prophet select me above all of you? He goes, Ya Rasulullah, tell them please, who is the most beloved person to you? And the Prophet says, Aisha. Like he speaks about his wife, he says, Aisha. Amr was shocked. He said, no, I don't mean that, Ya Rasul. I'm not talking about this. No, I'm talking about men. Who is the most beloved to you? He goes, her father. SubhanAllah, Amr asked few questions. His name didn't come in the list. He stopped asking the questions. You see, we learn about the Prophet ﷺ something very interesting and unique. When the Prophet ﷺ speaks to people and deals with people, Rasulullah ﷺ, he gives him his full attention, that everybody felt he was a special person to the Prophet ﷺ. That's how we deal with people. We talked about in the Khutbah al-Jum'ah today that, you know what, the Prophet ﷺ was a people's person. He was a people's person, which means he just loves people genuinely. He cared about people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why, subhanAllah, his relationship were amazing with everybody. Everybody thought the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, preferred them over everybody else. So here with Aisha, radiallahu anha, he never hides, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never actually hid his love for Aisha. He even pronounced it publicly when he was asked, who is the most beloved to you? And he said, Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Okay, so even the Messenger of Allah, the most righteous, fell in love. Wow. Religious people can also fall in love? Did you guys believe that? Like with this big beard, mashallah, you can fall in love? Yeah, what's wrong with that? Well, no matter how big your beard is, Jama'ah, how fluffy your hijab is, it doesn't matter. When it comes to love, these are human feelings and sentiments. If you've been blessed with that, enjoy it to the maximum. If you've been blessed with that, enjoy that love to the maximum in the most, of course, halal way possible. Number five. Okay, so I understand this point right now. But what is the problem then? Why I thought I loved my husband when I married him. I thought I loved my wife when I married her. So what's going on here? Why are we having a problem with this issue these days? So here's some false things or false, I would say, portrayals and perception of love. I want to share a few things with you, inshallah. Number one, one of these false perceptions of love. Love and images. When people want to get married, what is the first thing they look for in a spouse, a jama'ah? What is it? You know, some guys, they come to me and they say, Sheikh, can you please help me find someone for me, inshallah? I said, of course, absolutely. What are you looking for? He goes, I'm looking for someone who's very religious, mashallah. I said, no, tell me the truth. What are you looking for? He says, you know. I said, no, I don't. Tell me. So I go, someone beautiful. I said, okay, even with that, tell me, what does it mean exactly? Define beauty for me. What is it? What's your standard? SubhanAllah, even with this, we have different standards. The point is, when it comes to love and beauty, people associate love with beauty. As a matter of fact, all the interesting kids' story that we learned about when we were kids, you know, the bedtime story you read for your children? All these, hikayat, as they call them in Arabic, yani. They all have the exact same standard. Like you see somebody and then what happens? You fall in love with her. Like the prince sees a little girl, he just falls in love with her, just mashallah, they get married and lived happily ever after. Like one of the most ridiculous stories I've ever actually read in my life, yani. But it was sweet though. Is that there was this little girl, she was born in a family, and then a vulture came, snatched that little girl in her from her crib and flew all the way away into the mountains, and that girl, she grew up in the vulture's nest for maybe, I don't know, 15 years, more or less, probably. So can you imagine? She grew up in the vulture's nest all these years. And then one day, there was a prince who was going on a hunting trip, and he came by that mountain. He hears a voice. He looks up. He sees the most beautiful face ever in his life. Are you kidding me? A girl living in the mountains in the vulture's nest for 15 years. How would she look like, Jama'ah? How would she look like? Forget about that. What kind of language speaks? But suddenly he fell in love with her, and he couldn't resist that. When he went back home, he couldn't eat. His father saw that, the king, and he goes, what's going on, my son? He said, Dad, I've saw the most beautiful girl in my life. I want to marry her. And his father, he launches an entire army to go and look for her. Finally, alhamdulillah, they found her. And they brought her down. Probably, I don't know if she resisted or not, but eventually they brought her down. Then, mashallah, they washed her off, you know, all that stuff on her, of her, and then they get married and they lived happily ever after. Do you guys believe this story? Because I know when you listen to it, it's just like, oh, this is so cute. But that doesn't happen in real life, Jama'ah. Really. So what does that mean? When it comes to image and love, we have sense of association between image and love in our life. But the question is, why do people associate love with beauty? What do you guys think? What's the reason for that?
Natural attraction.
But why do you associate images or the beauty with love? So when you love someone, you see them beautiful. And if you hate them at that moment, you see them ugly. They're still beautiful, right?
Emotions.
Okay, there's something else. What does beauty give us, Jama? Sense of what? What do we think about someone beautiful? I wish it was happiness. But it's true. We think of it as bring us happiness, but what is it in reality? The problem with that is, yes? Say it again. Excitement. There's something else that makes people actually attracted to the beautiful image. They say that the reason why people associate love with beauty, because beauty in our mind is a sign of what? Perfection. You know when you see a nice building, what do you say? When you see a nice, you know, amazing building, what do you call it? Wow, beautiful. You see a piece of junk, a car running, you know, in the street, and when you look at, what do you say? Wow, beautiful, right? Why do we use beautiful to describe something, you know, that is maybe not so beautiful? We mean by that perfection. So if the guy is handsome, what does that mean? Mashallah, he's perfect. He is perfect. Hello, he doesn't speak English. Like, who cares? I love him, right? He's beautiful. Same thing with the girl. You know, the guy sees a beautiful girl, that's it. She's the one. How do you know that? She's beautiful. So what? She must be perfect. But, yahi, I mean, look at this, look at that. No one cares. Because we associate perfection with beauty. Where this is coming from anyway? Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, that he says it's coming from the Quran. When Allah subhanahu, oh, not from the Quran, but Allah subhanahu referred to it in the Quran, saying in Surah At-Tin, قَالَ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, which means Allah has created man in the best image, the most perfect image. Now, the ulama, they argue, who is the most beautiful man ever created? Was it Yusuf or Adam? What do you guys think? Yusuf, right? Some ulama say, no, it's Adam. Because Allah said Adam was the most beautiful. Okay, so what about Yusuf? Yusuf had actually half of the beauty of Adam. That's what they say. Eventually, Allah created Adam perfect and the most beautiful image. In our perception, beauty also brings perfection to the relationship. Forget about that. No, it's not necessarily true. So what does beauty then should mean to us? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You see something beautiful, you decide something beautiful, wallahi, it becomes beautiful in every aspect of your life. That's it, no matter what. You know, parents, when they have little kids, whatever their kids draw, how do they describe that image? Oh my God, beautiful. And guess what? They post this, and they put it in a frame, and they put the date on it probably, and they may put it maybe in a gallery somewhere to sell it, you know, for $1 million. Why? Because in their mind, it's my kid's drawing, so it must be perfect, right? So because we love them so much. So that's why people associate love with beauty. That's a false perception. Remember that love is in the eye of the beholder. You decide this person is beautiful for me, their akhlaq are beautiful for me, then that's it. They're beautiful no matter what. The second thing that people have as a wrong perception of love is that when it comes to loving each other, we have to match in almost everything. Like, listen, I love to watch football games. Then my wife needs to watch football games with me. No, she doesn't, yaakhi. Well, I love go shopping, for example. Sorry to be stereotypical, yaani, but, you know, I like to go shopping. So my husband has to love shopping with me. Who cares? Do not necessarily have to match you in everything. Just because we get married, we don't have to dissolve our entity into this relationship. We share a lot together, but I still have my personal interests. I still have my personal interests. You see, the Prophet ﷺ, he loved to do tahajjud and qiyamu layla jama'a. A lot. Right? Every single night. Find me one single hadith where when the Prophet ﷺ was up doing tahajjud, Aisha was praying with him. Find me one single hadith. Where would Aisha be when he's praying tahajjud? Sleeping in his qibla. And he would even poke her leg just, you know, to pull her feet back to give him a space for his sujood, ﷺ. But then when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, she dedicated herself for ibadah and worship. So what was she doing when she was basically in his life? She was the most beloved to him no matter what. His interest was in ibadah and this and that, but she wasn't in that much. Yani. She wasn't even a good cook. That's what she said about herself. She said, you know what, I wasn't a very, very good cook, really. I mean, Hafsa was a better cook than I am. So she admitted that, radiallahu anha. She said that sometimes, even when the servant was asked about Aisha, you know, she said, you know what, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, she's amazing. The only thing it bothers me about her is that sometimes I leave her to take care of the dough, and then she goes to sleep, and the goat comes and eats it. Like there's no bread for us anymore. So that's how she, you know, forgetful sometimes and so on. Still, the Prophet ﷺ loved her so much. Remember, you don't have to match interests with each and everything. One last thing about false perception of love. Many people think that once you love somebody, that love is for what, a jama'ah? For eternity, until the day of judgment. And that's why they always wish that they're going to get married in Jannah. And that's when the spouses are like rolling their eyes. Like it's a eternity and forever. You know what? Love doesn't have to always be there forever. However, the actions of love should continue no matter what. You might not, you know, reach that level of love for each other, but still you need to continue showing the actions of love. You know, the actions of, just like Birrul Walidain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask us in the Quran to love our parents. He ordered us to do what, a jama'ah? Ihsan and Birrul Walidain, being dutiful to your parents. Now, part of being dutiful to your parents is to love them, though. But he didn't say to love your parents. Why? Because sometimes we have very tough relationship with our parents, right? I don't love my parents, maybe, right? But you've been ordered to show them the actions of love. With being nice to them, kind to them, dutiful to them, no matter what. Sometimes in a relationship, you might not love your spouse the way you want, but you're going to have to act the actions of love as well. Number six, when it comes to the actions of love that bring it home, inshallah, with us, is marriage and happiness. How many of you guys got married to be happy? Raise your hand. Okay. You guys got married to be happy? Shall I give you the bad news or the good news? There's no good news, the bad news here. Actually, no. Here's the thing about marriage and happiness. Marriage does not or is not supposed to bring you happiness. I repeat, marriage does not make you happy. So what does it make you? Responsible. Happiness is your personal business. You can be happy single all your life. You can be happy, you know, married all your life. But my marriage is not that perfect. Who cares? You can still be happy. Happiness in itself, why people are struggling with happiness in marriage? Because people, they make happiness as a goal they're struggling to achieve. When in reality, you cannot put happiness as a goal. If you put happiness as a goal in the relationship, you will never be able to achieve it. Why? Here's the thing. If this is your goal to be happy, right? Like you set a goal. You said, if I can get here, I'll be the happiest person on earth. So what happens? You struggle and fight for it, and struggle and fight with it, struggle until you get here. How do you feel? Happy, right? Then after some time, when you're here, happy here, after some time, what do you see up here? What do you see? Happier. So if you can be happier, why settle with happy? Oh my God, that's miserable now. And then you start to try to be happier. You keep struggling again until you become happier. The moment you become happier, what do you see up here? Oh God, there's even higher level. So suddenly you become miserable. You see, whenever you put happiness as a goal, it becomes a mirage. You will never be able to capture it. And it's going to be very stressful. I'm telling you from now. So what's happiness then? Happiness is not a goal to achieve. It's a reward you receive. Receiving for what? For achieving contentment. The more content you are, the happier you become. And when it comes to happiness in a relationship, I know many people, they put their happiness dependent on their spouse, but actually happiness is an individual thing. You can be happy in the most difficult situations in your life, and you're still smiling. Why? Because it's in the heart. I've seen kids, you know, in refugee camps, and they have big smile. Wallahi, I would pay millions of dollars to get it. And I've seen kids living here in America, and they come for counseling when they're still 12 and 13 years old. They're depression already, actually, subhanAllah. Why? Because they're not happy with what they have. It doesn't bring them that sense of contentment. Same thing with marriage. If you cannot be individually happy, you cannot make someone else happy. If you cannot be individually happy, you cannot make someone else happy. So work on your happiness in a way that is meaningful to you, but is still reasonable and halal. And then you will see, once you get there with contentment, inshallah, you'll enjoy every moment of your life. Number seven, love, in order to achieve that sense of happiness, we have to understand that love is not a noun. It's a verb, Jama'ah. When we say it's a verb, what does it mean? It's an action. It's an action. You see, a lot of people, when they talk about love, they think of it as a sentiment, which is static. It's whether there or not there anymore. So whether you have love or you don't have it at all. Who said that? Who made this rule? Love is an action, which means it's dependent on your actions and how you practice it. And if there is one thing that we should practice the most in order for us to achieve that sense of love, what is that, Jama'ah? If there's one thing you should achieve in your relationship with your spouse to make it work very well, what would that be? What kind of actions we're talking about? Respect? Mercy? Communication? Trust? Caring? Anything else, ladies? Compromise? The guys start compromising already? The sisters? How about we put all this together in one thing? What would you call it? Have you heard of something called husnul khuluq? Good manners? Heard of that, Jama'ah, before? You see, a lot of people, they show their good manners outside of the house. What about in the house? Well, I thought I should come home because I just want to start behaving myself, yani. Well, you behave yourself doesn't mean to become yani rowdy and loud and wow. Subhanallah. You see, husnul khuluq, good manners, if you use it at home, I guarantee you the happiest life you'll ever see. See, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked about his akhlaq and his manners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran answered that. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you are on a high standard of character, Ya Muhammad. See, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was like everybody else. He has issues with his family. He gets upset sometimes. He gets disappointed. He gets sometimes, you know, his wife gets jealous sometimes. So he has all these issues. But still, he always held himself up to the highest standard of character. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlih." The best among you are those who are the best of their families. And he practiced at home, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, some of the Sahaba, they walked around the house of the Prophet, asking his man, his akhlaq. They were asking, "Ya Rasulullah," I mean the wives, "How is Rasulullah at home?" Why were they asking about his akhlaq and his manners at home? They were asking about his manners at home because, like us human beings, we have double face, right? We have the public face and the private face. Anyone, mashallah, their public face is perfect as much as it's, you know, their private face? Anybody? So there are no angels here, alhamdulillah. So the basic fact that we have these double standards sometimes, we have the public face and the private face. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sahaba, they were wondering, is his akhlaq outdoors with everybody is the same thing as at home, the same thing like outside? So they came and they asked the wives. And I always tell the men, you know, I challenge you. You know, if anyone comes to your wife and would ask her, "Hey, how's your husband at home?" The guy, maybe he would have heart attack, probably. And they hate people to ask their kids, "Hey, how's your dad at home?" Why? Because it's embarrassing sometimes. We're human beings after all. We have, you know, this kind of double face. These people went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's household and they asked, "Kayfa kana khuluqun nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" How was the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at home? Aisha, she gave a brilliant answer. She's just like, stop it. Don't waste your time asking the questions. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His manners was the Qur'an itself. His manner, the standard, was the Qur'an itself, which means he doesn't fluctuate. Inside the house, outside the house, is the same. Now, some of us might say, or the ladies would say, "Can you please teach my husband to be like that?" Well, why don't you become Khadija and Aisha first? And then we'll talk about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. Here, stop that.
I'm just trying to help you, brother.
Help yourself, man. I'm good. I'm speaking with confidence because my wife is here too, so don't worry about it. The thing is, subhanAllah, it's once again, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his akhlaq and his manners were always the same, publicly and privately. How many of us can do that? It's difficult. It's hard. And that's why I say good manners would help us. If I make a mistake, at least with your good manners, you'll forgive me. And we move on. And we can just kind of move on. You know, it has to be. Otherwise, if we always think of it, you know, to be like angels, then you're not going to enjoy life at all. Number eight. Love. When it comes to love, now that I understand, love is an action. Okay, some people might say, Sheikh, I've been doing this all my life, but it's not working. Still, I've done everything I can imagine, you know, for my wife to love me, for my husband to love me, but it's not working. Here's the thing about love. That's point number eight. When it comes to showing love, you have to show it in a way that is meaningful to your spouse, not to you. Is that clear? Ya jama'ah. Like, what if it doesn't make any sense to me? Who cares? It makes sense to your spouse. You have to show love in a way that is meaningful to your spouse. Okay, how do I get to that point? Then you're going to have to understand your spouse. It takes a while, but with practice you can make it happen, inshallah. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brilliant. He said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ مَتَ تَكُونِ عَنِّي رَاضِيَ وَمَتَ تَكُونِ عَلَيَّ غَضْبًا. I know when you're happy with me and when you're unhappy with me. She goes, how do you know that? He said to her, when you're happy with me, you would say, كَلَّا وَرَبُّ مُحَمَّدٍ. No, by the Lord of Muhammad. But when you're upset with me, you would say, كَلَّا وَرَبُّ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. No, by the Lord of Ibrahim. Like, I'm not going to mention your name, basically. Right? And subhanAllah, so the Prophet ﷺ was able to understand that. To show you how brilliant was the Prophet ﷺ in that regard, one day he was sitting after Salat al-Eid at home, and the Abyssinians were playing with the swords. They have a festivity in the masjid. So it was very, actually sounds fun out there in the masjid. Aisha stopped what she was doing, and she was kind of like trying to listen to what's going on out there. And the Prophet ﷺ, he looks at her, he sees her, and he goes, shall we watch? Like, do you want to watch it? She goes, yeah. He goes, okay. So he stood up for her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he kept standing. And she said she came behind his back to hide behind him, basically, because there was a window leads to the masjid. She could see from there. And she had her chin on his shoulder. And can you imagine now? Now she has her chin on his shoulder, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if you think about that, she described it. She says, قَاتْ وَخَدِّي عَلَى خَدِّي. My cheek was on his cheek. How does that look like? Can you guys try to imagine that right now? I know some people, they're very rigid. They can't even imagine the Prophet said something like this. Just like, come on, Sheikh, this is too embarrassing for me. Why? So the Prophet actually described, وَخَدِّي عَلَى خَدِّي. My cheek was on his cheek. And when he's basically like leaning his head towards her, radiallahu anha, to put his cheek on her cheek, and when they're standing in this position, could you even tell me where her hand would be? Most likely she's holding him. Now some people, they might say, no, astaghfirullah. She would put her hands behind her back, yani. Like, really? Eventually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was standing for her, and she was watching. As a typical man, he watched for some time, and it was the same thing again. He's just like, are you done? She goes, nope. He goes, okay, keep watching. And after some time, are you done? Not yet. Until she said, okay, I'm done. And then they went away. Later on, when she was narrating the story, she was saying, I swear I had no interest in watching the Abyssinians. I only wanted the other wives to hear about his position for me. That's all, basically. But the point I wanted to make from the story is that the Prophet ﷺ understood his wife very well. Do you understand your spouse, Jamal? That's the question. Can you guess? Is it possible? Are you trial and error, or are you guys doing it right? See, sometimes all what you need to do is just ask your spouse, hey, how do you want me to express love to you? So if your spouse tells you something, as long as it's halal, and it sounds like weird, but it's still halal, you know, maybe that's how they express love. That's why they want to express love, yeah, subhanAllah. Like sometimes, which is the wajah of the man, he keeps saying, I'm doing all of this for you. Like working from 5 a.m. until 10 p.m. And he just says, I'm doing all of this for you guys. Like, you know, alhamdulillah, this life you have, the cars you're driving, blah, 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 all of this, you know, because of what we're doing over here. Here's the thing. No matter how much you tell your spouse that you're working away for them, they will only see you working away from them. That's how they see it. So stop bragging about this issue because it doesn't count love for them. What would count love is that you have to understand to express love to your spouse in a way that's meaningful to your spouse. Like milk chocolate and dark chocolate, okay? Let's say the lady, she loves dark chocolate, and the guy, he loves milk chocolate. Every time he wants to give her something sweet, he brings her what? Milk chocolate. First time, as a courtesy, she's just like, oh, thank you, this is so sweet. Second time, okay, thank you. Third time, what's wrong with you? Right? And then fourth, fifth time, just like, are you serious? And then suddenly start fighting over this issue. And in his mind, he's like, what's wrong with you? I'm bringing them the sweetest things in the market. You know, it's the best Belgium milk chocolate you can imagine. He goes, but I love dark chocolate. No, you have to try this. It's not the way you see it. It's the way your spouse should see it, actually. So remember, when you express love to your spouse, it has to be in a way that is meaningful to your spouse, not to yourself. Number nine, the last 2 points, inshallah ta'ala. When it comes to love, love does not mean you cannot disagree with your spouse. I repeat, love does not mean you cannot disagree with your spouse. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, قال أحبب حبيبك هون أما. When you love your someone, love them easy. Take it easy with your love. عسى أن يكون بغيضك يوم ما. Perhaps one day you might dislike them. And he said, when you dislike someone, take it easy, moderately, because one day they might become, you know, the most beloved to you. Just don't be excessive in both ends. That's not right. And the other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, قال, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنا. A true believer, which means speaking to the husband, a true believer would not detest and dislike or hate another believer. Speak about the wife. إن كره منها خلقا أعجبه آخر. If you dislike something from her, you like something else. Like, be balanced. It's not like, you know, completely hate versus love. You might like things, dislike things. You don't have to agree on everything. Allow some room for disagreement, and it wouldn't hurt. Should be okay, inshallah, tomorrow. As long as it's reasonable and something halal, should be fine, inshallah. And the last point here, which is something not so many people pay attention to when it comes to the subject of love. We don't pay attention to this, jama'ah, because a lot of people, they keep saying to me, Sheikh, do you know any dua that I can make so can my wife can love me? I'm like, yeah, I have some potions for you over here. Just mix them up and just drink this after Salat al-Fajr, inshallah. Make a lot of dua of this kind of thing, and everything is going to be perfect. I wish I have this magic wand in my office, keep giving it to people when they have problems. It doesn't work like this. You see, it's not me who brings the hearts together. It's not you who bring the heart of your spouse to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. It is He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who brought their heart together. لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. If you would go to spend all the treasures on this earth to bring their hearts together, you might not be able to do it, because Allah is the one who brings the hearts together. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the hearts of the people together with a lot of dua. As you do your job, you need to do the work. And then make the dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for you to get together. A lot of people, they spend so much energy in making the effort, and they forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who makes these things happen. And some of us, they just sit down there, they make a lot of dua, but they're making no real effort to bring themselves closer to their spouse. You have to bring them both. You have to bring them both, and I mean by that you make the effort, and then you raise your hands and make the dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to bring the hearts together. As an action item, I would like from all of you to remember these 10 points, inshallah. Number one, quickly, to go over these issues. Number one, we say that when it comes to love, if there is anything that causes nonsense to make sense, it is actually love. Therefore, try to rationalize it. It's not just emotions. Rationalize it. Number two, when it comes to love, it's a mystery, but marriage is not. Learn the rules of marriage. Yeah, but I don't like these rules of marriage. It's not about you. You have to play by the rules of marriage. If you don't like them, that's your problem. But you're going to have to play by the rules of marriage. And these are easy to learn. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a miracle. He made this miracle to place love and mercy between our hearts. Therefore, enjoy this miracle. It's a perfect stranger that you live with right now suddenly becomes your most intimate person in this life. So make sure to enjoy the miracle. Number four, when it comes to love, it's halal. Once you have a halal relationship with your spouse, enjoy it to the maximum in the most halal way possible, inshallah. Number five, Avoid these false perceptions of love. Like if you see that one day you woke up and your spouse doesn't look as they used to be, you know, 5 years ago, just like what happened to him. Right? Well, he's 5 years older now. Right? So therefore, you're going to have to understand the perception of love, you know, in reality different than what people, you know, have it on TV and so on. Number six, marriage and happiness. Remember this. When it comes to marriage, it's supposed to make you responsible. Happiness is your personal business, no matter how, what's your situation in relationship. Number seven, love is an action. It's not just something you claim, something you have to prove it through action as well. And number eight, love, you need to love your spouse in a way that is meaningful to your spouse, not to yourself, even if it doesn't make any sense to you. But still, if it makes sense to your spouse, you do it. Number nine, love does not mean you cannot disagree. It's okay to disagree on things. You still love each other, inshallah. There's give and take in the relationship and compromise. And finally, always remember to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always ask Allah to bring the hearts together, because He is the one who brings the hearts together, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, as a final action item for you, inshallah ta'ala, I want you just to try tonight to change one thing in your relationship. If there is one thing you could change in your relationship, what could it be? Think about it. I'm not going to give you anything in particular, because everybody has their own dynamic, different than others. If you think that you're working too much, hey, maybe you need to start coming 1 hour earlier, probably. You know what? Maybe I need to spend more time helping the kids with homework so I can give my spouse a break, for example. Or maybe this, or maybe that. I don't know. If there is one thing you could change in your relationship with your children, with your spouse, something simple, not so big, what could it be? Think about it and make that change tonight, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring love and mercy into your heart, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Any questions, jama'a? Yes, sir. Now. Qurrata ayun. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm saying you make the dua, but the point is, who brings the hearts together? Allah Azza wa Jal. So make that dua. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun waj'alna al-muttaqina imama. Make the dua. Ask Allah to make your spouse the love of your heart and the comfort of your eyes and your heart in the dunya and the akhirah. Jazakallah khair. Keep that dua in your mind. Yes. What's the difference between peace and mercy? Well, peace and mercy, as a matter of fact, the ulama, they say that peace and mercy, there are categories of love even, believe it or not. Like there's a big spectrum for love, and there is peace in between, and there is mercy as well. And subhanAllah, with mercy you can find peace, inshallah ta'ala. Now, yes, we're done? Okay, last question from the sister side, just question best. Yes, go ahead. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. 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 Now you're asking us about the rules for successful marriage. That's a whole different game. But if there is anything I would like to advise the parents when it comes to their youth and their children at home, and also the youth as well, by the way, is that I just want them to understand, when they first fall in love with somebody, that doesn't mean 5 years down the road they're going to still have the same feeling for them. And I always tell the people, take it easy. When you're ready, you get married. When you're ready, get married. So for them, I would say, wait until you're close to being ready for marriage. Only then start experiencing that love or exploring that love. Until then, most of our children are influenced by what they see out there, what they watch out there. And honestly, no matter how much we're trying to make the halal easy for them, if they're not ready for it, can be detrimental. The high rate of divorce that we have in our communities, because a lot of our young, you know, men and women, they delve into a relationship without being prepared for. So we need to have the right preparation for them, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. But much more to it, actually, a discussion on the rules of marriage. We can talk about it later, inshallah, ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. I think we're going to have to wait for the adhan, right? Go ahead. That's it? Okay. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After Isha, you're going to